MD, RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious, all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are. And I know you know. That means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike. This is Code Delicious, brought to you by our good friends at Real Salt. Hey, Food Nation, if you love to cook, if you love flavors and textures as much as I do, you probably already use some sea salt, as I've told you to do. But take a look at the ingredient panel on your sea salt. You might be surprised by what you find inside. Fillers, anti-caking agents, in some cases even dextrose, which goodness gracious is a sugar, believe it or not. So use a sea salt that I use. Real Salt was made at the time when the earth was young. It's from an ancient ocean. It's mined underground, protected from all that we've done to the oceans. So there's no pollutants, contaminants, etc. Don't got to worry about it in that salt. It's Real Salt. And when you head over to realsalt.com, put in your Dr. Mike in the coupon code, get yourself an extra 15% off. Today, I've been waiting for this segment because, as you know, if you've read The Fallacy of the Calorie, I've got a whole topic in there on my thoughts on gluten, gluten-free, wheat, modern wheat, etc. We've got Dr. John Duyard with us today. He is a globally recognized leader in the fields of natural health, Ayurvedic medicine, sports medicine, creator of lifespot.com. You want to head over there, check that out, a leading site for Ayurvedic health and wellness. You can find him on YouTube. He's actually worked for the New Jersey Nets as the director of player development. So this guy knows sports, although, you know, he worked for the Nets. Being from New York and the Knicks, well, can't say much about his choice there, but we'll pass on that. Most importantly, he's the author of 7 books, including the latest one, Eat Wheat. You've seen him on Dr. Oz, Women's World Magazine, HuffPost, and the list goes on. So without further ado, Dr. Duyard, welcome to the program. Everything about you is impressive except the Nets.
Yeah, they didn't win anything, so couldn't help them there. But great to be here. Thanks for having me on, Dr. Mike. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. So first, you know, if some folks may be familiar with Ayurvedic medicine, but some folks may not. So could you give us just a little bit of a background on that?
Well, Ayurvedic medicine, sort of like Chinese medicine, has been around for thousands upon thousands of years. It's your traditional system of medicine in India. I went to India years ago in 1986 for a 2-week vacation, ended up staying there a year and a half, and learned Ayurvedic medicine. I met Deepak Chopra there, came back here and started running Ayurvedic centers here. And what I do now today is I take the ancient wisdom, doesn't even have to be Ayurvedic, but if it's ancient practice, has been done over thousands of years, time-tested, and then I prove it or back it up with modern science, and I write about that on my website. So that's what I think is amazing, is when you take the things that have been going on for thousands of years on this planet, and we have science to back it up. That's worth looking at, and that's exactly what this book is about. There are over 600 references, scientific references, you know, proving or suggesting that there's a whole lot of science about wheat that we're not hearing about in the gluten-free industry, and people need to hear it and have that discussion.
Well, I think that's great, and obviously, you and I, and I'll go ahead and say it for both of us, great minds think alike, because my latest book just came out last week called Ancient Eat. So it looks at the healthful cuisines of ancient cultures. Volume 1 is the ancient Greeks and the Vikings. So folks, head on over to Amazon.com and get your copy there. And one of the other important things I think you said that folks, gosh, they just don't appreciate it, gluten-free industry. There is an industry. Folks, the big businesses love it that you don't want to eat wheat because it allows them to charge you more for things that don't have gluten in them to start with if they're made correctly, like, you know, a cold cut, you know, a ham, etc. shouldn't be loaded with gluten. So Dr. Duyard, tell us a little bit more about this, because this is very, very, very important information for our listeners.
I think it is, too. You know, in New York, it's a $15.6 billion industry. And what happened?
Wow.
You know, let's, what, when we go back, you know, the experts say, well, we've only been eating wheat for 10,000 years, and therefore we don't have the genetics to actually digest it. Well, that's actually not true. Recent science has shown that it found gluten in teeth of ancient humans, numerous ancient humans, all over Africa, 3.4 to 4 million years ago. So we've been clearly eating wheat, lots of it, because Africa was covered with grasslands, wheat and barley, and we've been eating it for millions of years. In fact, the studies show that they can, ancient human, any human, could gather enough wheat berries in just 2 hours to feed them for an entire day. A whole lot easier than trying to, you know, kill a zebra or some lion that's running after you. You know what I mean? So, and we only started eating meat, hunting our own meat, 500,000 years ago. And so we have way more genetics for eating wheat than we do meat. And what's interesting is most folks who don't like grains, can't digest them, don't feel good when they eat them, and I totally get that, they shift towards a paleo diet, a diet of mostly meat, which we have millions of years less genetics to actually digest. So when you look into the science, you realize that, whoa, something is wrong here. We have been eating wheat for millions of years. Why are we not able to handle it or digest it today? Yes, wheat was hybridized. It's not genetically modified. It's hybridized, just like tomatoes were hybridized. They were poisonous 10,000 years ago, and now we have cultures that depend on them. So every food on the planet that we eat today has been hybridized. So has wheat, but it was hybridized thousands, 10,000 years ago. People say, well, you know, we have the genetics to handle that hybridization. Well, we handle the hybridization of every other food. We literally, Dr. Mike, have microbes in our body that produce enzymes that are specifically designed to break down the hard-to-digest gelatin molecule of the gluten in our mouth, in our esophagus, in our stomach, in our small intestine, and in our large intestine. And it becomes pretty, when you look at the science, you realize that the body has done a major job in trying to make sure that it digests wheat and dairy and gluten. And then the question starts to become, well, you know, if it isn't the wheat, then what is it? Well, people say, well, gluten's a poison, not a protein. Well, not really. When you take ancient grains like Kamut grain, it has twice as much gluten in it than modern wheat. And it had twice the reduction of inflammation. So they always say gluten caused inflammation. Well, the grain that had twice as much gluten had twice as least inflammation. It lowered blood sugar and cholesterol levels. They did another study, and they found that and these are all in the book. We have over 600 scientific studies to back all this up in the book, stuff you've never heard of, because nobody wants to say wheat's good, because there's an industry, you know, like you said,
I was there with you. So when the fallacy of the calorie, which my previous book came out 2 years ago in December, and I was there with you. So I want you to check it out and put a check mark next to me. I'm with you on this.
Amazing. You know, so it's great to, like you said, like minds think alike. So 100 years ago, in 1900, the consumption of wheat in 1900, average a person ate 86 pounds more gluten flour, wheat flour, in their diet in 1900 than they do in 2008, 86 pounds per year per person. So we eat way less gluten today than we did 100 years ago. Nobody had gluten. Well, we don't really know that, right, that what was happening 100 years ago. But the gluten levels in the bread have been relatively stable for all this time. So you start to look at the science and you have to say, well, what is it? For every study that shows that wheat causes weight gain or wheat, and in fact, there aren't studies that show wheat causes weight gain. What Weight Belly and Grain Bane have done is they've misinterpreted the science. They say that wheat has a high glycemic index, particularly when it's processed, and therefore it acts like sugar. And we know that sugar causes Alzheimer's, sugar causes weight gain, sugar causes diabetes and causes all these problems. So they basically said since wheat has a high glycemic index, it's therefore must cause all these problems. And that is a dangerous road to hoe in the scientific world, because there's science that shows, and volumes of science that says wheat lowers blood sugar, whole grains lower blood sugar, whole grains reduce the risk of Alzheimer's, reduce the risk of weight gain, reduce the risk of sleep disorders and diabetes, and increase your longevity by like 18%, decrease cancer by 18%, reduce risk of death of all causes by 16%. And these are major Harvard studies, not little funky studies. These are studies that have been done and proven, you know, time and time and time again. The Mediterranean diet is a wheat-based whole grain diet. So how
you've hit on such great points. And what folks don't realize too is, and I think you really highlighted it, this extrapolation that the glycemic index of wheat, when what people are actually eating is bread, and they're eating the refined white flour, and you're eating a slice of white bread, for example, which does have a high glycemic index, there's sugar in there. There's a whole lot of other things. There's a lack of the grains. It's not like eating, frika or, durum wheat or these other, what we would call true whole grains. And I wanted to, you're drawing some great analogies from science and, for the research in ancient Eats, although it's not mentioned in this one, upcoming volumes, of course, I'll pull a lesson from history. So the average Roman soldier was given rations of several pounds of bread per day. And I don't recall any battle where Julius Caesar summoned the troops and they needed a safe space because, they were having a little bit of gastric indigestion. You know, those guys marched and conquered the world, and they did it on wheat.
Yeah. And so let's talk about, where and why, because I mean, I think you would agree, and I agree, people who eat wheat feel yucky. They feel terrible. And I think you and I would both agree. I've been doing this for a long time. I was in practice now for almost over 30 years. And back when I first started, if someone comes in with digestive disturbance, you say, hey, get off of wheat and dairy. Pretty easy thing to do. People got better. But we realized within a few short months, they came back and the problem wasn't solved. They can't eat wheat and dairy, and the symptoms are back. They say, well, get off of meat, get off, become a vegetarian, become a vegan, become a raw foodist, and we keep taking foods out of the diet. But the digestive system problem never really goes away. It just gets temporary relief for a short period of time. And we've been doing what we do so well in America forever, which is just get rid of the symptoms and never address the cause. So we've just sort of bypassed the cause. Now, the modern medical, this idea of wheat and dairy being hard to digest proteins has reached the mainstream, and doctors who are not in natural practice for very long, it's the simplest thing to say, hey, wheat and dairy is bad. You take someone, if you're in medical practice and you say, take somebody off of wheat and dairy and they feel better, you think you just solved the world's problems. It's such a short-term kind of concept and such limited thinking, and it's such a medical concept, and I love medical Western medicine in certain ways, but not to the extent that we put people at risk. And the risk is that if you can't digest wheat today, and you once were able, your ability to digest well is directly linked to your ability to detoxify well. And we have 400 billion pounds of toxic chemicals dumped in the American environment every year, and 72,000 of those chemicals are cancer-causing. The mercury from the coal mine plants filter clouds of mercury on every single organic vegetable. So if you can't eat and digest wheat today, and I'm not talking about celiac, and you once were able to, then you're not going to get rid of the mercury, which you can't wash off your vegetable, and it's going to go into your intestinal tract, into your lymph, into your blood, to your brain, to your fat, and cause real serious problems down the road. Why? Because all we did when it had a little digestive problem where the body was screaming, saying, hey, I've got a little bit of a problem here, all we did was take the wheat and dairy out of the diet. We never fixed or addressed or even looked at the cause. And that is the danger in why I wrote Eat Wheat, because we're being duped again in the same way we were duped 60 years ago when they took cholesterol out of our diet. They told us, right? They told us cholesterol was bad.
Oh,
and now you read the research, right, 2 weeks ago, right, that the sugar industry
off Harvard researchers? I didn't know about the payoff, but I wrote about that again in The Fallacy of the Calorie as a cardiologist, and you do not have any idea of the slings and arrows I've endured for being out there and saying, guys, it's not the cholesterol that it's in the diet. It's not the saturated fat. Like you, here's the data. I've done medical grand rounds, and when I finish, I could hear a few crickets and these stunned faces that like, oh my God, this guy, is a heretic. But now, the data is out there, as you said, and now coming to light. And one of the things that you highlighted and you mentioned earlier, and I want to reiterate it because it's incredibly important, is how long we've been eating, you know, the natural real substances like this, like wheat, and our gut microbiome that we're learning is so very important, has co-evolved to co-metabolize certain foods with us. And you know, a big portion of the diet of these little wee beasties, these minions, is carbohydrates, which, you know, folks are hearing all the time, don't eat carbs, don't eat carbs, don't eat carbs. But that's actually what feeds the little minions that keep us well. And the fiber, which is found in the whole grains, both the soluble and insoluble fiber, that's the food for our little sea monkeys down there. So, you know, this is very, very important, because this disruption that you're talking about, you know, also affects the bacteria. And then you basically go from a Garden of Eden landscape, you know, to something that resembles Chernobyl. And I think that's where a lot of these, you know, problems come from. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I think, you know, and you and I agree on so much, and I think we both agree that people really do. And I think we have to keep acknowledging the fact that people do, when they eat wheat, they feel bad. They eat dairy, they feel bad. They take it out of their diet, they feel better. So I totally get that. But my point is, you've made so many points, but one of the points that we're going to talk about is how to navigate around the processed versions of the wheat that are available today. I want to hold that for a second. But I want to go back to the cholesterol thing. 2 weeks ago, the Journal of American Medicine published a study where Harvard researchers were paid by the sugar industry to divert the attention and the research that was suggesting that sugar was causing heart disease to direct it towards fats. And the results were they took fat out of our diet. Cholesterol was deemed this poisonous food. The entire diet industry changed, and we started using fats and cooked and deodorized and boiled and refined fats as agents to preserve foods and extend shelf life. So you take a loaf of bread today from the supermarket, right? It'll sit on the counter for weeks without going bad, maybe never go bad. If you take an artisan loaf of bread that's made with wheat, salt, water, and a starter perhaps, it'll go hard in a day and you can knock somebody out within 2 days. That's what bread.
Yeah, it's a home defense weapon.
Exactly. And the bugs will take that bread and eat it, because the microbes will make things go bad. But the bugs that make up 90% of our cells in our body and in our gut, they want nothing to do with that bread that's sitting on the counter that stays squishy for a month. And that squishiness is created by the cooked oils and fats that they put in these breads to preserve them. And 60 years of that has directly congested our liver. And those processed foods are linked to 141% increased risk of metabolic syndrome, which includes abdominal obesity, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, high cholesterol, and high triglycerides, and low HDL levels. And in the same exact study, they found that when people ate whole grains, whole wheat, they had a 38% reduction in those symptoms. So we now have really good science to show that the processed foods in our diet, the cooked oils in our diet, have literally congested our livers and our gallbladders and our ability to produce bile, which is the regulator of the entire digestive system. And we have an epidemic level of gallbladder disease and gallbladder surgeries that are taking place today. And it's like not having good fats in your diet, and all these processed fats that we've been eating, is like not cleaning the stove from the grease on your counter for 20 or 30 years. And that liver just can't keep up. And the liver and bile flow regulates blood sugar, as you know, linked to diabetes. Liver contributes to ability to metabolize fats. The liver mood stability and supports, you know, mood stability and helping against depression and anxiety. And the liver helps break up and deliver and break up the fat, so you can be a good fat burner and not lose weight. So the three epidemics of our time today: diabetes, weight gain, and
heart disease.
Heart disease are all linked directly to this congestion of the liver, which happened 60 years ago, and it was only this January that they finally take cholesterol off the nutrient concern list, and it's back on the diet. And the exact same thing is happening today with grains, because the grain brain isn't a wheat brain. They're after every grain, nut, seed, anything with an anti-nutrient that's a little tough to digest is out, which means we're going to be left with nothing but meat and vegetables, which If you talk to any anthropologist, and Harvard anthropologist will tell you, there's nothing paleo about the paleo diet. Nothing wrong with meat. We're adapted to right. eat meat, but we definitely had grains in our diet for millions of years. We genetically, as you know, we actually genetically began as human beings about 2 to 3 million years ago, started creating amylase, a specific enzyme mm-hmm. that didn't exist before to specifically digest starches like wheat and tubers. And that happened about 2 to 3 million years ago, right at the time when we started having, you know, having way more grains in our diet. So, I mean, to say that we're not genetically able to handle wheat is just simply not the case. The fact that we have weakened our digestive system is definitely the case. And the first step is to get rid of the processed foods, and then we have to reboot the digestive system. And one of the things that happens that people don't realize is that when you don't digest wheat and dairy very well, they're hard to digest proteins. They will go undigested into your small intestine. They're too big to get into your bloodstream. And where do they go? They congest and get uptaken into the collecting ducts of your lymphatic system that lines your intestinal tract, where 80% of your immune system is. And that same lymphatic drainage off your intestinal tract is linked to the newly found lymphatic vessels in your brain called the glymphatics that drain 3 pounds of toxic chemicals and plaque out of your brain every single year. And if you eat wheat and it doesn't get digested well and it congests those lymphatics, you are going to have the inability to deliver fast as energy through the lymph to every cell of your body. You're going to feel tired and exhausted and fatigued. You'll feel a brain fog because the brain lymphs can't drain into an already congested lymphatic system. And every symptom of the brain grain wheat belly system is directly linked to congestion of the lymph. And there are literally volumes of studies about lymph and celiac and gluten in the gut from broken down digestion in the research journals that hasn't made it to medical practice yet, and that takes literally years. This whole idea of the the grain brain is really a brain drain phenomena, and that's what we need to unravel.
I think you hit it spot on. I could tell you, and you talk about the cholesterol, yet, you know, I read coming across from cardiologists at universities, you're still telling folks, oh, you know, avoid cheese because it's, you know, rich in cholesterol and saturated fat, when actually the studies show that real, wholesome, authentic foods, which is what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, these actually help populate the gut with the good bacteria and lower risk. So all the stuff you're saying has been so spot on. And I hope we can have you back again, because we just really sort of started separating, if you will, the wheat from the chaff. Have to get in at least one horrible pun, you know, each show. It's kind of my my listeners would be disappointed if they didn't get their pun for the day. Where can folks find you?
Well, the book is out in ebook now. It doesn't release officially as a hardcover until January, but right now it's available as an ebook at eatwheatbook.com. Of course, it's on Amazon as well. But if you go to eatwheatbook.com, you can get all the information about the book and learn about it and sign up for and get a copy of the book or pre-order the book when it comes out in January. So that's where you can get it, at eatwheatbook.com.
That's great. Folks, I encourage you to go over there. You know, it's a great resource, and all the things that Dr. Durd was talking about, you've heard me talk about before. He's got the research there. You definitely want to check out this book, and also head over to lifespa.com. Check him out as well. And until we meet again, my friends, may the only pain in your life be champagne.